It's good for us to be here this evening to worship God again, and we're glad that we've all come together for this time together. In the book of Luke in chapter 15, Luke chapter 15 and beginning at verse 25, says, "Now his older son was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house, and he heard music and dancing. So he called one of his servants and asked what things this meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf.' But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out to him and pleaded. So he answered and said to his father, 'Let these many years I have been serving you, and never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who devoured your livelihood with harlots, you have killed a fatted calf.' And he said to him, 'Son, you have always been with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found.'" Last week I talked about the parable of the prodigal son. And one of the things I said then was that's only half the story. And a lot of the lessons we hear on this particular parable, we quit after the prodigal son comes home. And that's it. But I suggest that the second half of this parable is just as important as the first. And so we'll look tonight at the parable of the older brother, not just the prodigal son. Now, most studies, like I said, begin with the parable of prodigal son, and it ends with him coming back home. And as great as that parable is, it's even greater because what's said next. Both parts were equal in message because Jesus was not talking at just one group of people. He was talking to two or three different groups of people. Both the sons, in fact, left their father, but in a different way. One stayed home all the time and left his father. The other went into a far country. But they both sinned against their father and against God by what they did and by the attitude that they had. The parable begins, really, you look at Luke chapter 15 and verse 1. And you have to understand what this says to understand all the rest of the chapter. It says, "Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" Now it's in that context, Jesus told three parables in this particular passage. You might say four if you think of the prodigal son and the older brother as two different parables. But they're basically three parables. First one was the parable of the lost sheep. Now, this is Luke 15, verses 4 through 7. And it's the sheep that was lost, and the shepherd goes out and goes over the hills and the fields and finally finds the lost sheep and brings it back. So the lost sheep was lost and didn't know how to get back home. And sometimes we go away from God, and many people do, and don't really understand how to come back to him, to repent and come back. And that's the parable of the lost sheep. Parable of the lost coin is Luke chapter 15, verses 8 through 10. And in that particular parable, the lost coin, the woman has 10 very valuable coins and loses one of them. So she lights the light and she sweeps the house, and finally she finds the one that was lost. The lost coin was lost and didn't know it was lost. Someone had to come and find it and bring it back. And so that's the two of the parables right there. And notice he's talking to the tax collectors, or the publicans, as some translators say, and sinners. That's one group of people he's talking to. And the others is the Pharisees and the scribes. Well, the tax collectors and the sinners, they were outcast from society. So they were kind of like the lost coin that was gone and didn't understand their condition until Jesus brought it to them. And the Pharisees and the scribes, they should have known. They should have known the way back because they knew the law and they taught the law and they prided themselves on knowing what it said. But they were lost and they weren't willing to come back. So we look at the prodigal son. Again, verse chapter 15, verses 17 through 25. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but you can read that. And I'm sure all of us are probably as familiar with that parable as most of them. And, of course, the prodigal son came to his father. He asked for all of his inheritance, and the father gave it to him. And he went into a far country and wasted it on all kinds of, the Bible says, riotous living, whatever that includes. And he lost everything that he had, and there was a famine in that country. And, of course, he took a job feeding swine, which is one of the worst jobs a Jew could possibly have. And he even wanted to eat what the swine had because that's how hungry he was. And finally, the Bible says in Luke chapter 15, verse 17, that he came to himself. He came to himself. He realized his condition. And he began to think and realize that if I went back to my father's house, I'm not worthy to be his son. But I can ask if I can be a servant. At least the servants, the slaves, had enough to eat. And so he went back. And you know how the story ends there. The father saw his son coming from a long distance and, of course, ran to meet him and brought him back and forgave and accepted him back into his family and put shoes on his feet and a robe on him and a gold ring on his finger to show that he was brought back as the son in his father's house. And so that's where sometimes we end the story. And as great as that is, we have to look at the other part because Luke 15, verse 2 says, "And the Pharisees and the scribes complaining, this man complained, saying, this man eats, receives sinners and eats with them." In other words, sinners and publicans, the tax collectors for the Roman authorities, they were despised by their own people. They were considered outcasts of society. And of course, the sinners, it's kind of a montage of all kinds of different sins that the scribes and the Pharisees looked down upon. Well, that's represented by the older brother. They looked upon themselves as the elites of society. They were higher up. They studied in the best schools in Jerusalem. They studied under the best rabbis of the schools that were there, like Saul of Tarsus later on, who studied under the greatest rabbi of the time, Gamaliel. And so they looked down on everyone else, and Saul of Tarsus did, incidentally, before he understood who Christ was. And so he was speaking to those people. And you go back then to chapter 15 and verse 25. And he says, "Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard the music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what these things mean. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come because he has received him, because he has received him safe and sound. Your father has killed the fatted calf.'" So he came, the older brother came back and heard the sound of the music and the celebration and the dancing and all the things that were going on in the house. Well, he called the servant over, said, "What is this? What's going on? What has happened here?" And he was puzzled about it because this wasn't something apparently that happened very often in their household when he was growing up. And so he was puzzled about it. He didn't know exactly. So the servant said, "Well, your brother has come home, and now your father has received him back and has killed the fatted calf, and they are joyful for it." Evidently from this passage and some of the other passages throughout the Bible, the idea of killing the fatted calf was only done at some joyous celebration usually. And it's to celebrate something that good has happened, something good has happened to the family or a person. And so it's a celebration, and that was done. And so the elder brother came in and he heard what was going on. And he couldn't quite grasp this idea. And so the son would not go in and then go in to join the party, join the celebration for the coming of his brother after he had been away for so long and all, but he didn't know where he was probably. And so we look at that. And that's exactly the idea Jesus wants us to understand from this. Yes, the prodigal son came home. The father, which was God in that particular parable, receives lost sinners from wherever they have been, as far away as they have gone from God. If they will repent and come back to God, he's there. He's our Father. He wants us to come back. And he's calling us all of the time to do so. So he would not go in. Verse 27. And so verse 28 says in verse 28, but he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. Notice the father did not come out and command him to go in. As the father, he had the authority to do that, but he wanted him to come in on his own will, his own volition. He wanted him to make the decision to come in and to celebrate with all the rest of the family. And so the Bible says, but he was angry and would not go in. So he was angry, he was jealous, and he was angry because he didn't get the same treatment, which we'll talk about in a few moments. He didn't want to go in and join in with his brother who had now come back and repented. He didn't want to join in with his family, his father, and the others of the family also. So the son could not understand why such a fuss was being made over this sinful and wasteful brother. He was arrogant. He was built up in his own false pride. He did not care for this brother who had come back after all of this time. And so we look at that and realize, you see what Jesus was talking to the people. So there's two basic ones, the tax collectors, the publicans, and the sinners, the other sinners in society, who are down on the bottom level. And of course, the Pharisees and the scribes who are considered them up on the top level. It's like the parable where Jesus told of the two men that went to the temple to pray. The Pharisees stood up and said, Lord, here I am, and you're so fortunate to have me as your servant, and I tithe and I fast and I'll do all these good things, and you're just very you ought to be very glad that I'm your servant, basically what he said. And I'm glad that I'm not like this publican over here. And the publican beat on his chest and said, Lord, forgive me. He wouldn't even look up to heaven. He says, God, forgive me, for I'm a sinner. So Jesus very often made that kind of difference between these two groups of people. And Jesus, of course, in that parable, said that man, the publican, the sinner, who recognized it and admitted it and asked for forgiveness, is the one that went down to his house justified before God. And so this is another evidence of the same kind of attitude and the same kind of thing. But he did not understand the Father's love for himself or for his brother. Now, evidently, the Father had to put up with both of them at some times. The younger son, who ran off from him, he had to put off with his ignorance and everything else to go into a far country and waste what he had. He had to put up with his other son and the bad attitude that he had in staying home. So the scribes and the Pharisees, they looked upon themselves. They looked upon themselves as righteous because they kept the law, at least in their view. They didn't do what the law didn't say to do, and they did what the law said to do, and they marked off their chart probably every day to make sure they'd offered the right sacrifice on the right day, and they'd gone to the temple at the right time, and they had prayed at the right time of the day. So everything was done according to the script that they had made out for themselves. And if they did all that those things, then that made them righteous before God. That's the way they viewed it. But they had a self-righteousness and a self-importance and a false pride that they had built up in themselves. Jesus describes it, for example, in the Sermon on the Mount, as some would want to stand on the street corners and pray long prayers, and so people would go by and admire their dedication to God. Or others would fast and pray and would disfigure their face and make their hair look disheveled or whatever. And the people would think that they were fasting and praying and they were doing this to the glory of God. Jesus says they have their reward. What they wanted was the praise of men and not the praise of God. Jesus says they have their reward. The people say, look how dedicated they are. And of course, Jesus on one occasion said, if your faith and your dedication is not greater than that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you'll not enter the kingdom of God. Well, the people couldn't understand that at the time because they thought they were the most dedicated people in the world. Jesus said, no, it's not that way. And that's why he's telling this parable. Scribes and the Pharisees were self-righteous in their own eyes. And of course, they had the pride of self-importance also, because many of them had very high status in their community. But the older son boasted of his own goodness. Luke 15 and verse 29. Luke 15:29 says, so he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you, and I have never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never give me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. All he could think about was himself. He says, I've been with you all the time. And notice the boast he made there. He says, lo, these many years I have been serving you, and I have never transgressed your commandments at any time. Well, had he done that? Oh, probably. But he wasn't going to admit to it. But he had probably transgressed his father's will a lot of times. But he understood, as by his way of thinking, he had always done what his father wanted. And of course, the obvious application that Jesus was giving is, you, the scribes and the Pharisees, this is your attitude. A couple of times in the parables of Jesus at the end, it says the scribes and Pharisees and the Sadducees realize that he told that parable against them. Well, it's the same principle here, because that's exactly what he was doing. He was telling this parable against the scribes and the Pharisees. The first part of it is against the tax collectors and the sinners. Well, they've gone away, yes, but they need to understand their sin and come back and repent. But here, he didn't even realize or would admit that he was a sinner. In Luke chapter 18, the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, Lord, what do I need to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, well, you keep the commandments. Do not steal, do not commit adultery, do not kill, and the other things that he said. And the young man said, well, all these things I've kept from my youth. In other words, I'm righteous enough to go to heaven. But he says, at least he had a little bit of humility. He said, well, what else do I need to do? Well, Jesus said, well, go and sell all that you have and give to the poor and come and follow me. Well, he went away was sorrowful because he had many possessions. The reason he did is because he placed his possessions above everything else. But he said, he boasted, said, all things, these things I've done from the time I was a young child. And he probably had done most of those things most of the time. And yet, he still trusted in his own righteousness. And of course, that's part of one of the parables, or this is one of the things that Jesus showed, because later on in that particular passage, it was actually happened, not a parable, but he said to them, the people around, he said, it's very difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Not because he's rich, but because the riches have a tendency to take the place of God in people's hearts. And the Pharisees also had that attitude. So the older brother boasted of his goodness. Now, the scribes and Pharisees, they did that. So the older son, he boasts about all the years he'd been with his father. He'd never really transgressed any of of his commandments. He'd always try to do what his father said, and yet, obviously, he didn't. He had a very bad attitude about it. But notice in this particular passage, in verse 29, so he answered and said, Father, lo, these many years have I been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And you never gave me a young goat I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. Now notice, he didn't know exactly what he had done in the far country. He said he assumed that he had wasted all his money on harlots and other things in the far country. But notice also, he didn't say, my brother came back and now you did this. He says, that son of yours is what did this. He was not even willing to admit that this brother who had repented and come back was his brother. He didn't even recognize that family tie that was there. Well, what's the application that Jesus was making? Well, the Pharisees and the scribes, they didn't really consider the publicans and sinners as brothers and sisters to them. Even under the law of Moses, they didn't think that way, because they were much higher and they're down there on a different level. So they can't possibly be our brothers and sisters. So Jesus is making that application. Turn for a moment to Luke chapter 19. Luke 19 and verse 1. Luke 19 and verse 1 says, then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. I'm not going to read the whole account of Jesus and Zacchaeus there. Most of us know what happened there. You can read it. And he was not only a tax collector, he was a chief tax collector. He was over all the other tax collectors. And most of the chief tax collectors became very wealthy, skimming money from their tax collectors under them and from the ordinary people. And so Zacchaeus was that. So he was despised, and not only was he the tax collector, he was also a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy because of it. And so he was despised by his own people. And of course, Jesus went by the tree they climbed up in, because he was not very tall, and said, come down, I'm going to go to your house. We read this in verse 7. It says, but when they saw it, they complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. So the scribes and the Pharisees were following Jesus around to find out where he went and what he did. They said, this is awful. This man that claims to be the Messiah, he's going into the house of one of the worst sinners there is. But look at chapter 19, verse 8. And Zacharias stood in the midst of and said to the Lord, Lord, look, Lord, I give half of all my goods to the poor. If I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. You go back and read the law of Moses. He wasn't required to restore fourfold. He was only required to restore double or twofold. He says, I'll do twice what the law requires of me if I have taken anything that was not mine or should not have come to me. And then in verse 9, Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Well, that goes back to the parable of the prodigal son and the older brother. Jesus came to save everyone, whether they are high up in society or low in society. Some people have the idea that Jesus just came to save the poor people. Well, he did. He came for that purpose. But he came to save everyone in the middle, at the top, wherever they may be. Because it doesn't make any difference how much we have in this life, but what our heart is and what our life is before God. And that's the parable is being talked about. Now, we look down in chapter 15 of Luke. Luke chapter 15 and verses 31 and 32. And the father said to the son, he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours." In other words, as long as you remain faithful to me, it's all yours. That's what you're going to receive. That's the blessing that you have. Verse 32, he says, "But it was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother," notice he calls him his brother, says, "Your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." The father, he didn't berate his older son. He said, "Remember, you've been with me all the time. Everything I have is yours. And eventually you're going to inherit it," because the younger son had already wasted all of his inheritance. He says, "You're going to get all that's left." And he says, "You have to understand that it's good that your brother, it was dead and now he's alive again. He's come back, figuratively speaking, from the dead to be back with us again." And he says, "He was lost and is found. He has come back." You go back to the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin, how those were brought back also. And so all these three parables really go together about the tax collectors, the sinners, the scribes, and the Pharisees. But also the idea is found in this particular part of the parable, that being always present but not loving others and not being an example to others is not good enough. We have to be present, and it's good to be a good example and teacher of others, but we also have to have love for others also. In Revelation chapter 2, in verse 4, Revelation 2 and verses 4 and 5, to the letter of the church at Ephesus, he says, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from whence you have fallen, and repent and do your first works, or else I will come quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." Now, what did the church at Ephesus do wrong? They hadn't really done anything wrong. They still had a good reputation, but their heart was not in it. They were just going through the motions. Well, that's what the older brother did. He just went through the motions of serving his father, but he didn't really love his father, and he didn't really love his family. It was all for himself. So in Revelation 2, that was the attitude of many in the church at Ephesus. He says, you need to repent and come back to your first love. In other words, restore that zeal that you had at first when you first came to the Lord. He says, the brother was dead and now he is alive again. You know, we might be dead in sin sometimes and need to be brought back ourselves. So we look at ourselves and realize what God requires of us. When we are dead in sin, we have to be born again. The first time, to believe and obey the gospel, being baptized and brought out of that, raised to walk in newness of life. John 3, verses 3 through 7, Jesus says you must be born again. You must be born of the water and the Spirit. When we stray from that, we have to come back and repent and ask for forgiveness, as the prodigal son did. So we look at this and realize this parable covers the whole 15th chapter of the book of Luke, but it applies to us today just as it did in that time. Now this evening, if you need to come for whatever reason it may be, the invitation is open. Won't you come now as we stand, as we sing?